I'm Mandalit Del Barco, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, we talk to a Billboard magazine music critic about this year's Latin Grammys. Puerto Rican alternative rap and reggaeton duo Calle 13 leads the pack with 5 nominations. But first, 10 years ago this month, President Bill Clinton granted clemency to 11 members of the Puerto Rican independence group, the FALN, or Armed Forces of National Liberation. In the 1970s and 80s, the group was believed to be responsible for more than 100 bombings across the U.S. 6 people were killed. Here's Robert McGuire, the then acting police commissioner of New York City, talking about the injury of an officer following an FALN bombing in 1983.
Police officer Rocco Pascarella, who was assigned to security duties in this building, had commenced a perimeter search and observed a suspicious package. While attempting to examine that package, it exploded, seriously injuring Officer Pascarella. He was taken to Bellevue last night and his leg was amputated below his knee. He's in serious condition at the present time.
Relatives of the victims of FALN violence criticized President Clinton's decision to grant clemency, and both the House and the Senate passed resolutions condemning the action. Alberto Rodriguez, who now lives in Chicago, served 16 years in prison after being convicted of being a member of the FALN. He was one of those pardoned by President Clinton 10 years ago.
I was born in New York and grew up in Chicago, in the Puerto Rican community in Chicago. And then while I was in high school in the late 60s, it was in, you know, all the stuff was going on around the Black Panthers and Black Liberation and Black Civil Rights, the anti-war movement, the Young Lords, and all this political activism that in New York and in Chicago. And they were very active in the school that I was in, passing out papers, talking to us. And, you know, I was pretty young, you know, 16 years old, more into just hanging out with my friends than politics. But it just, you know, me and some of the other people that I grew up with started reading and started talking to our parents about their experiences in Puerto Rico and our experiences here as Puerto Ricans living in the United States, dealing with poverty and racism and all the rest. And we began to demand in high school Latino studies and Latino teachers. And, you know, we made some, what we thought in the late 60s, some modest demands on the Board of Education. And we, you know, many of us were expelled from school, and we felt that, you know, the response from the administration, from what we call the establishment, was really out of proportion to what we were demanding. We began to see that, like all over the United States and possibly all over the world, that there was a struggle. And we just started identifying with that, and we, you know, our politics became more radical. And I think in response to the government's response towards us. And so by the time I graduated from high school and entered the University of Illinois, I was, you know, pretty radical and pretty involved in the politics of independence for Puerto Rico. I was, you know, heard about there were 5 nationalists who had been in prison, Puerto Rican nationalists who had been in prison since the 1950s. And one of them was not too far, a couple of hours outside of Chicago for many, many years, and we didn't even know about it.
But how did you go from supporting the freeing of some political prisoners in Puerto Rico to actually getting convicted and serving 16 years for violent struggle?
It's not that big of a leap, in my opinion. The only way that we were going to achieve Puerto Rican independence, or at least begin the process of self-determination, was through a process of revolution, through armed struggle, as we called it. No, I think that the world has changed in the politics in Puerto Rico, and the politics of the Puerto Rican community here in Chicago has changed. Remember, and all over the United States, remember in the early 70s, when I was coming up, there was no such thing as Puerto Rican politicians in any of the major cities. The Puerto Rico was unheard of, except when there was a hurricane. One of my earliest memories was President Ford in his State of the Union saying that he was going to make Puerto Rico a state. And that infuriated me, because here I was, a Puerto Rican. I know my parents and my family in Puerto Rico were not asked their opinion. And here was the President of the United States saying that he was going to make, you know, forget what the Puerto Rican people want or don't want. I'm going to make Puerto Rico a state. That infuriated me and many other young people.
Do you still support the violence?
No, I think that the world has changed in the politics in Puerto Rico, and the politics of the Puerto Rican community here in Chicago has changed. In the early 70s, when I was coming up, there was no such thing as Puerto Rican politicians in any of the major cities. One of my earliest memories was President Ford in his State of the Union saying that he was going to make Puerto Rico a state. So at that time, in that era and that reality, we felt that we had no other alternative, that if we were serious about freeing the political prisoners and freeing Puerto Rico, armed revolution was the only way to do it.
So that colonialism, though, that you're talking about, do you think that justifies the violence? I mean, what would you say to the victims of some of those bombings? And I mean, six people died.
Right. Well, you know, it was a two-way street. I think that, you know, we're always put in a position to have to make statements about what happened. We also had, you know, people killed and people thrown into prison. Not everyone involved in revolutionary activities. The United States government criminalized the whole independence movement, or attempted to criminalize the whole independence movement, and just being an active supporter of independence could, you know, land you in jail or at least, you know, lose your profession or other consequences.
Can you talk about your role? I mean, were you directly involved in any of the violence that happened then?
You know, there's, you know, legal questions involved with that I can't answer. So I'm not going to answer yes or no, because I don't know what, you know, what the consequences of that are.
But you yourself, though, I mean, you say you supported the violence as a means to liberate. Do you have anything to say to the victims of those bombings?
You know, a personal apology doesn't change anything. I don't think it will bring any closure to the victims on either side. What we were talking about 10 years ago, many years before that even, while we were still in prison, that we wanted to enter in a process of reconciliation and, you know, to discuss what was going on in the 70s and 80s. But that process has never taken place. So it's sort of a, you know, in a situation where it's sort of, you know, personally apologize for anything we have done, sort of today and not in the context of what was happening, you know, 30 years ago.
I don't know. How do you feel about that? You don't think that you should have to apologize?
No.
From Chicago, Alberto Rodriguez, who was granted clemency 10 years ago after serving 16 years in prison for his association with a violent Puerto Rican independence group.